Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. Happy Monday. I hope you are all doing fantastic. I'm finally back in Arizona after being out of town for around a month, so it feels good to be back in the studio. And today we have a juicy topic, and that is why OpenAI, as specifically as its training for ChatGPT-4 and beyond, is currently not working on GPT-5, the reason for that, and also the reason why that might be a little bit of a deception, and why they say they are no longer going to be making bigger AI models. So let's kick the podcast off today. A bunch of the stuff we're going to be talking about today is coming from some interviews Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, did recently at MIT. And he said that in this recent interview, he said that he thinks we're at the end of an era where it's going to be like these giant models, and that they're going to find ways to make them better in other ways. This is really interesting. We're going to dive into what that means. But essentially what he's saying is that this might be the end of when we just keep seeing these models get bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is interesting because they actually have not released how many parameters are in the GPT-4 model. When they came out with the first GPT-2, it was around 1.7 billion parameters. And when they came out with GPT-3, which is, you know, the regular ChatGPT version that they launched for mass production that everyone first used back in December, January, that one had a whopping 175 billion parameters. So this thing went from like, this thing got massively bigger. And then when GPT-4 came out, they didn't actually announce how big it got. And my opinion on this is that, well, a couple things. Number one, they're probably trying to protect a little bit of their intellectual property. So not announcing how big the model is, it could be like they just don't want people to know how big it is because it's so ginormous. And the reason for that might be, you know, competitors might question, how did you get that much data? You know, there's been recent things. For example, when Elon bought Twitter, he shut off the Twitter API that was directly feeding into OpenAI. So they were scraping like all the Twitter data in the universe. And so I think that they may just have a really insane amount of data and they don't want people to know how big it is, or perhaps how small it is and how they're able to effectively work on that. And then the other interesting thought is perhaps it didn't actually get that much bigger than GPT-3. They just figured out ways to fine tune it. But for all of these different cases, they just don't want people to know what they're doing. They don't want their competitors to know what they're doing, because there has been a handful of really big competitors that have come out with a lot of money. There's Anthropic. Elon Musk is rumored to be working on something with Twitter to create some AI models. There's obviously Google, and a lot of different people are focusing, Quora, on making these big AI models. And so I think they just don't want people to know how many parameters they have, how they're able to make it so effective. And there's also the possibility that maybe they just have such an insane amount of data that people would be mad, you know, that how did you gather all that data and yada yada. So really interesting, but apparently these things are not going to get any bigger, aka OpenAI probably hit the max for how much just sheer data they can like suck into their vacuum beyond just getting new data. So as we know, everything got cut off in 2021, and beyond that, it's probably not a big deal if they're not updating things live, because now they just plug the internet into it, and for anything newer than that, you'll just use internet to scrape and do searches and pull in relevant stuff like Google and Bing are currently doing. So it's going to be really interesting. I think Altman, his statement pretty much suggests that ChatGPT might be the last major advance to emerge from just feeding these models more and more data. And what the actual advancements we're going to start seeing now, because apparently you're just getting diminishing returns as you scale up to more data, or maybe they already have so much that there isn't actually that much more to do. So I think the new ways we're going to start to see this progress is just from how we're using these transformers. So Nick Frost, who's a co-founder at Cohere, he previously worked on AI at Google. He says that when he, like, listening to Altman talking about this, he thinks that this is true, and that he believes that the progress on these transformer models that are the backbone of ChatGPT and that type of thing, that what's really going to make these things scale, he says, there's a lot of ways of making transformers way, way better and more useful, and lots of them don't involve adding parameters to the model. He also says that he just thinks that the architecture and further tuning based on human feedback are really promising directions that researchers are probably looking at right now to make these things more effective. And if you think about it, OpenAI and ChatGPT already have pretty much the biggest user case on this, right? And Tesla was kind of in the same thing with their self-driving, because they had all of these cars out on the road with self-driving, and they're able to capture all of this data and see pretty much every time, for example, in the case of Tesla, if you got autopilot on and a user has to grab the steering wheel and take over, Tesla would be able to look at, you know, what was happening leading up to that manual takeover. And that's essentially using human feedback to help tune the model and say, oh, it was doing something wrong, therefore the human had to take over. I've been saying this for a long time with cars like Tesla. It's going to be hard for other people to catch up with the same level of self-driving, because they just have such a massive user base feeding it data. And ChatGPT is in the exact same position, where they launched ChatGPT. They had over 100 million monthly active users, probably way up from there. And all of those users, you know, there's thumbs up, thumbs down on every single message that came out of ChatGPT. And so people were telling it bad answer, good answer. And so that was helping tune it. And in addition, you know, if someone asks a question and they rephrase it and ask it again, it also knows, hey, the first answer wasn't good. So they have all of these things kind of built in that they can use to fine tune it just from all of the users that they currently have. And so it might not actually be necessary for them to just keep scaling up with bigger and bigger data sets, in addition to other fine-tuning things. But the users, a literal human saying this was a good or a bad answer, is one of the best ways that they can train these things. And they just have the biggest user base, and it's going to be pretty hard for a lot of these other companies to catch up based off of that. So it's pretty interesting. Obviously, when GPT-4 was about to come out, there was all these memes and tech people speculating and posting these like graphs of like GPT-4 or 3 was trained on, 1.7 billion parameters. GPT-4 is going to be like is a trillion parameters or something. We don't really know what GPT-4 is at, and it doesn't seem like it really matters at this point. So one other thing that is pretty interesting given all of this is that, Sam Altman also said that the company isn't going to be training GPT-5. They said, we're not working on this for some time. And it's interesting because this all comes on the back of, Elon Musk and a lot of other tech people signing an open letter to, the government, but really, and like the public at large, but really obviously aimed at OpenAI, who's got the lead on this, saying no AI models beyond a GPT-4 capability should be trained, yada, yada. OpenAI obviously didn't say, okay, sure, we're not going to do this, because, it's viewed, Elon Musk, for example, is now starting an AI company. So it would appear that, a lot of these companies calling for no more advancements are maybe trying to catch up anyways. So all it would do is benefit them. But what's really interesting is, Sam Altman obviously doesn't want the bad PR, and, doesn't want to be viewed as the guy that like ran, blindfolded straight into some giant AI disaster. So he obviously wants to appear to be, taking things in a measured and deliberate manner. So, kudos to him on this, but he said, we're not working on GPT-5 at the moment. We're just working on training or like improving GPT-4, and boom, I think that's the big, That's the elephant in the room, kind of, or I guess the big surprise, the big secret, whatever you want to call it. Like, improving GPT-4 is, like, essentially working on the next version of AI. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's funny that people are like, oh, good, he's not working on GPT-5. But it's like, what's the difference of GPT-4.5, GPT-4.6? Like, you could just keep calling it GPT-4.something, and essentially it could be what other people would have called GPT-5, 6, 7, or 8. It's kind of funny. I mean, you see the same thing with the iPhone, right? It's like this misconception that if the number got better, the model got better, and it must be like so much better, like, you know, when the iPhone 10 comes out and then the iPhone 11 comes out or whatever. It's like a lot of the times, you know, these iPhones aren't actually that different, and the reverse seems to be true, where you just don't have to label it a bigger number with the, like, GPT-4, GPT-5, and all of a sudden, you know, people are like, oh, cool, you're not going to GPT-5 when, you know, it's there's no different, right? You already connected the internet to GPT-4 and created plugins and created all this crazy stuff that might be GPT-10, but we're just calling it lower things. So I think that's, I mean, good job for PR control, you know, damage control for OpenAI. And personally, I think, you know, improving it obviously has to be done for a lot of different things, making sure that it's safe and capable. But I think it's just a misconception that, like, people are celebrating if they cared about AI advancement, you know, that GPT-5 isn't in the works. So I think it's not really saying much by that statement, but it is interesting. And it is interesting to note that, given the previous conversation, it would appear that GPT-5, even when they do start working on it, probably isn't going to be much bigger as far as parameters and data goes than GPT-4. So really interesting to see what's going on with all of this advancements in AI, in tech. It's going to be an interesting space to watch and to see what exactly these improvements in GPT-4 are in the future.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.